Welcome everyone to the 8:30 service. I am Pastor Andrew, and once again, I'd love to welcome all of us back in the house of the Lord, and of course, those joining us online, welcome to the service. Well, this sermon is actually going to be my last sermon, not in church, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere, to the dismay of some, but this sermon will be my last sermon on holiness. This year, I've been going through the topic of holiness as an exploration, both in a journey that the Lord is taking me, as well as, of course, a great sermon topic. I'm so glad that you all have journeyed with me through this. So, earlier this year in January, I spoke about holiness as an individual endeavor, our personal holiness in front of God, placing God back in the center of our lives. A few weeks ago, I also spoke about holiness as a community, how we keep each other holy. And in fact, we are the vehicles of God's sanctifying power in our lives. That is holiness as a community. And of course, to end off my exploration on holiness this year, it is about us, the church, each one of us, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And to talk about this, our main text, or one of our main texts, comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. If you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. If not, once again, you can listen as I read the text. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my lips, our Lord, and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week, Pastor Daniel spoke to us about how we can become holy and pleasing sacrifices to the Lord. And that is by praying to our Lord Jesus to come and change our hearts radically, to change us into new people, to conform us into his image. But of course, the question then beckons, is being holy all there is to the Christian life? Is, you know, being a good person, or reading the Bible, obeying the Lord, and coming to church every Sunday or Saturday, is that the full extent of the Christian life? If it is, the problem is that it makes us kind of boring, right? All we do is read Bible and we're kind of useless to the world. But when the Lord saved Israel out of Egypt and brought Israel into the wilderness to worship him, this was for each one just to be holy unto him, was not God's destiny for his people. And this we read in Exodus 19, verses 3 to 6. Exodus 19, 3 to 6. And Moses went up to the Lord, to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Actually, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 is actually built on this particular calling or vocation that God has called Israel. And this verse is actually a bit interesting, or this set of verses is a bit interesting, because it says, God first starts by saying, all the earth is mine, Then he calls Israel a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. So if you think about it, wait a minute. If all the earth is the Lord's, then isn't all the earth holy unto God? Right? Hasn't God separated for... Isn't all the earth God's and thus all the earth holy? And the answer is no. Right? Clearly, because that's what the text say. The text say that you are to be to me a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. So when God was choosing Israel, he was separating even from his whole possession, the whole world, he was separating a special people. For what? Right? Because holy simply means separated unto God. For what? What purpose? And that purpose, of course, is to be a kingdom of priests. All of us here, called by Jesus into God's kingdom, we are not just to be holy unto ourselves, but we are to be a kingdom of priests. So, this sounds still a bit too vague, right? What is a kingdom of priests? I mean, not all of us are like Pastor Joseph or Pastor Daniel, you know, we don't have the collar, we don't have those flowing robes, you know, and bishop's hat. We don't have all of that, right? So what is a kingdom of priests? What does it actually mean? Well, for most of us here, when we hear holy nation, royal priesthood, so on, it really just means be a good person, right? Like I said, come to church, read your Bible, go to cell group, don't hurt anyone, don't do any evil, and just be generally a good person. And this, to a certain extent, is correct, right? This is part of what it means to be a priest. We have to be holy. Otherwise, like Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, later we go and serve God, right? Then, because we're so unholy, the wine on the communion table will come into our lungs and drown us, right? Who knows? Now no more fire, right? So use wine lah. But that's the thing. Yes, correct. We do have to be personally holy. But that is not all. Of course, in Numbers 8, verses 18 to 19, the Lord actually enforces this idea that we as the priests of God, we as the kingdom of priests, each one of us has to be holy. And he says to Aaron, and I have given the Levites, that is the tribe of Levi that is meant to be a priest, as a gift to Aaron and his sons from among the children of Israel to do the work for the children of Israel in the tabernacle of meeting and to make atonement for the children of Israel that there may be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come near the sanctuary. Well, a lot of children of Israel there. But what that means is we keep ourselves holy so that God will not judge us. Right? God will not judge the church. We as the priests of God, we as those called to serve God directly, we are to keep ourselves holy so God does not judge us. Right? In fact, the holiness of the Levites forestalled the judgment of God, the plague that God would send to Israel. But this is one aspect of the priesthood. There are two. And the other one is found in Numbers 6, verse 22 to 27, the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. Personal holiness, communal holiness is indeed one aspect of being a priest in the kingdom of God. One aspect of this calling all of us have been called to. That's to be a kingdom of priests. And we do well to keep it. But there is yet another aspect. The aspect of bringing God's blessing. Not just to those around us in church. But in fact, everywhere we go, to speak the word of blessing, to speak the word of peace, to put God's name in the midst of this world. So there are two things that the priest actually does. First, we represent all of us. Each one of us represents the whole church, and at the same time, all of the world to God. And so when we are unholy in front of God, we represent all of the people behind us as unholy. Or, consequently, of course, if we are holy to God, we forestall God's judgment on those around us. First, that's the first one. We represent others to God, or men to God. Second, we represent God to men. Look to your neighbor and say, I represent God to you. Oh, wow, those that say very fast are very holy, very good. But yes, that is true. That's our calling, you know. We're not just called to be holy ourselves. That's so boring, honestly. We are called to be God's representative. The very image of God. In fact, I mean, that's how we were created. The very image of God to each other. And this is indeed a high calling. Of course, throughout the history of the Bible, this has been so, right? In Numbers, after Aaron and his sons get consecrated in Numbers 8, 18 to 19, the verse that I just read, 8 chapters later, right, they would be holy to God. They would be saved from the plague that God would send amongst the children of Israel. The children of Israel complained, and they said, why is Aaron a priest? So God actually asked Aaron and Moses, maybe you all stand at safe distancing from them, right? Maybe 2 meters away. I'm going to send the plague and kill all of them. And God did, because they offended God's ordination of Aaron, of the priest, of their high priest. God sent a plague to them. But what did Aaron and Moses do? Did they stand there and say, oh, we are holy, we are set apart? Too bad for the rest of those people. COVID-19 for you. No. What happened was Moses took a censer from the tabernacle, filled it with the fire of God, and gave it to Aaron. And he said, run into the midst of the people, stand between the living and the dead. Represent God's covenant, God's mercy to the people. And Aaron took that censer, ran, and the plague was stopped. Right? That, of course, that's the Levites. There's other example. King David. And once again, it was about plague. Right? David. Of course, this one is a bit more of a negative example. David sinned against God. And as king, he was the representative of the people to God. And this thereby had communal consequences, or this had real consequences on Jerusalem, God's capital at the time. What happened was David took a census and he realized he was wrong. However, you admit you're wrong, right? Doesn't mean that no consequences. So God gave him 3 consequences, of which he picked one, and that is for God to send a plague amongst the people. This is the consequences of us as priests, as representatives of God. If we sin, there are real and lasting consequences. And when the plague was sent by God, David looked at the plague and he was totally remorseful of his decision, because he saw the people dying of no fault of their own. On his account. And that is when he went to the threshing floor of Arunah. He bought the threshing floor, built an altar, and he sacrificed to God, thereby forestalling the plague. David was a representative of man in front of God. That's why his sin caused them to die. But at the same time, he was a representative of God to Jerusalem, when he built the altar, made the sacrifice, and stopped the plague on that account. This is what the priest does. This is what we are called to do. We are called to represent man to God, whether for good or for bad. And we are called to represent God to man. Of course, this then brings up another question, right? So how? Today, are we going to go to Botanic Gardens or, you know, Home Depot wherever you find garden ornaments, find a few stones, you know, nice big ones, 12 would be good, and then take them to our office and start building a stone altar, right? Then from time to time, or every morning, depending on how holy you are, you go buy a live chicken, and then you kill the chicken, and you make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And then when your boss comes in the morning, right, you say, hey, hello, good morning, you dip your finger in the blood, and you sprinkle on it. Oh, I don't imagine that will be very helpful, right? Also, that is how we get COVID-21, right? So how are we going to do to be a king of priests today? Well, back then when God selected the Levites, he gave them an example, didn't he? It wasn't Moses. It was Aaron. How Aaron acted, how he lived, how he made sacrifice for the people, all of that would be the example for the Levites to follow. So of course the question comes to us, who is our example today? Is it Aaron? No. It is Jesus. Right. Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 15, it says, but Jesus came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 15, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Jesus, no longer Aaron, is our high priest. And we represent Jesus to the people, and we represent the people to Jesus. Jesus came and acted as a high priest so that God would always see us, and because we are in him, we will be known and we will be answered by God at every point. So if we ask then, what are these spiritual sacrifices that we now offer? We no longer need to offer blood of calves and goats, but we need still to offer spiritual sacrifices. Why? Because the calling has not changed in principle. Because we still need to sacrifice for the world. That is our calling. And of course, to God. So, this is a great point. That Jesus' life becomes our example of how to conduct ourselves in a priestly fashion. And Jesus in heaven still does the work of the priest. In that, he continues to pray for us. He continues to serve us and with us. And of course, he eternally announces the gospel through the Holy Spirit in us. So the first thing, prayer. These are the things that we can do to act out this priestly calling God has called us to. And this one, prayer. So a lot of people in this world pray, right? Not just Christians. Even atheists pray sometimes when driven to desperation. And the question is, what's the difference? Does God hear their prayer? That's a tough question to answer. Actually, no, I lie. It's an easy question to answer. God doesn't hear the prayers of the unholy. God doesn't hear the prayers of those who do not believe. He can choose to, but by default, they are displeasing to his ears. But do you know who God hears? I bet you will know. He hears us. Why? Because we are made holy through Jesus. If we look around us, there are people we love who are suffering. There are people we love who are struggling. And those same people, however, will never utter one word to Jesus. But do they need mercy? Yes. Who will pray for them that they will have mercy? Who will pray to our Lord Jesus through him and in him that the Father in heaven will have mercy on our account? Everybody here, I know you know someone who needs prayer. Someone who maybe you've grown tired of talking to Jesus too. You say, you know, if you could pray to Jesus, I'm sure he'll help you. But you know this guy or this person will never do it. Why don't you pray for them? Because in their struggling, unfortunately, because of their sin, God will not hear them. But he will hear you. Who are you praying for today? Who will you pray for today? That is our first priestly act. To intercede on behalf of those far from God. The second priestly act we do is service. Of course, the priests serve in the temple, as I mentioned earlier, and we serve in very many ministries in that very same way. But of course here, the service is not just to do that of the holy things, as I mentioned, but also to represent God to man and to serve others. Not in the same way that Aaron did. That's why you don't go around sprinkling blood on people. But in the same way that Jesus did. How did he do this? Well, in Mark 10, we get the description of this. Mark 10, verses 42 to 45. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Another part of our priestly act, and this part we begin to represent God to others, is in service of those around us. Whether they be believers or Christians, it's the same. Whether you're serving those in the tabernacle or you are serving those in the court of the Gentiles, it is the same act, the same priestly act. And that is one of service. One of giving up our life, our time, even our wealth, so that others may come and know the grace of God. I'm not saying, okay, so sometimes when we think of service, we think like, oh, so whatever they ask us, we do lah. So if I'm a boss, for example, the employee come up to me and say, "Hey, boss, I need more money." And then you say, "Take my money." No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that that is not how one conveys the grace of God, the love of God. That just conveys, you know, weakness. How one conveys the grace of God is how do we bring this person, this employee, right, to achieve maybe his own goals in a Christian fashion? How do we bring our friends to become more in tune with Jesus, more loving, more compassionate? How do we serve them in ways that lead them toward God? This is what it means to give up our lives as a ransom, to serve them in a priestly way, the way that we are all called to be. And finally, this last priestly act we do is announcing the kingdom. There are many ways in which we can announce the kingdom. Of course, Jesus himself came and announced the kingdom. He said, he was in Luke 4, he was preaching in the cities around, and they wanted to keep him for themselves, to keep him as their local preacher. But he turned to them and he said, no, I must leave. I must go to the other cities and preach the gospel. For this is the reason I came. In the same way, God has called you to be that representative of his gospel, to be the representative of God wherever you are and wherever he has called you from. You and only you, or rather we and only us, yeah, that doesn't work. You and only you have the gospel in your heart. No one else. No one else's life has been transformed by Jesus, right? Other than, of course, our brothers and sisters. No one else but the church has the message and the power of God's love, of God's gospel, in our very flesh, in our very lives, in our time. How then can we not represent God to this world? That is what we are called to do. We stand before God as a holy nation, as a kingdom of priests, and we pray that God may have mercy on those around us. We go out and we serve those around us. We serve where God has placed us, not to gain reward, not to prove our holiness, but rather to stand before men and show them this is what Jesus looks like. And finally, we announce to them the gospel. Not because we want to tick some box, not because we want to say, hey, look, I got that guy as my trophy. No. We do that so that they may come into the Holy of Holies and become called to do the same, to become not just a receptacle of God's holiness, but an instrument bringing God out into the world. This is what it means to be a holy nation, that we become a kingdom of priests. Amen. To end this sermon, I would like to talk to two groups here today. And when I do this, I'll ask that we all just bow our heads and seek God together. I would like to talk to two groups of people. The first, I can probably empathize with you, is you hear me talking about this great destiny. God is charting out, as it were, a territory, wanting to make you a priest, wanting to make you somebody who can bring salvation to the world. But you yourself think, I don't know this salvation. I don't know. I don't feel that I can be holy enough. I don't feel that I can be good enough. Who am I to bring salvation to the world? Let me tell you, every one of us here, I like that. But what is impossible with men, what is impossible with your own effort, I tell you, is possible with God. If you want to move away from a life that is enslaved to sin, enslaved to your desires, and move into a place where you can be holy unto God, and even used by God, I tell you, give your life to Jesus. Because only He, only our great High Priest, can come, cleanse your heart, and prepare you for this great work and destiny He has ahead of you. If that is you today,
and you want to give your life and become transformed, if you want to turn away from your old life, I will ask that you do something for me. Well, now with all the heads bowed and all the eyes closed, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand as a step of faith, not for me to see, but for you to proclaim, to raise your hand to God and say, Lord, I want to be holy. Make me holy. I ask you to do that right now. Praise the Lord. The second group of people I want to talk to are those of us who have become comfortable where we are. God has blessed us. God has grown His faith in us. God has shown us the glories of His name. And we are happy to just stay where we are. The Christian life, and this is God's call to you, the Christian life is not just about you being holy to God. It's not just about you doing the bare minimum to get by. The Christian life is a destiny of holiness, being holy, and also making others holy. God wants to use you today, wherever you go from here. He wants to use you as His shining light to bring others into the kingdom. You are more to Him than just somebody to give gifts to. You are His chosen one, His royal priest. Would you take up this mantle? Move away from that comfortability that God has given you, blessed you with even, and begin to do miracles in His kingdom, to bring others into this marvelous light. If that is you, and you want more than this Christian life you have, I will ask you to do the same. Raise your hand up and say to God, I want that. I want to be your priest. I want to be your bearer of salvation into this world. Praise God. Father, you see our hearts and you see our hands. Lord, I pray that first you come, bring in your Holy Spirit into our hearts and let us know we are forgiven. We are made holy by your blood. And Lord, bring us, Lord, to yourself. And of course, for those of us who wish to take up, Lord, this mantle, this destiny of bringing your holiness into the world, of being your holiness in this world, Lord, I pray, send down your courage. Send down your spirit. Fill us with power, Lord, that we may go forth from this place and that everyone we meet, we will represent to you, and that to everyone we meet, we become your image of Jesus to them, pulling them from the fires of hell into your marvelous light. Give us, Lord, this grace, we pray. Send us out to save those you are calling today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church, let us rise to sing this song of response.
Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hands? Everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hearts? Mold it, refine it, as you set us apart. We want to run to the altar and catch the fire. to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope to our land.
Our prayer, Lord.
Won't you, Lord, take a look at us? Everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hearts? Molded, refined, as you said.
We ask, Lord, and in what we can do, give us your fire. Give us that power to go into the world and bring others into your marvelous light. Lord, give us your grace that the whole world may see and the whole world may know that God calls them today into a life of holiness, of love, and of power. Lord, so Lord, send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to pray, to serve, and to announce your gospel to everyone who would hear. Lord, that your name may be glorified forever until you come again. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. Service is over. May God bless you and strengthen you for his priesthood.